The Scriptures say, literally, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. You know that little chorus? It goes like this. Sing it with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Now you know the song. Sing it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Doug, lead us again. Let's sing that one more time. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes. For us, my brother, would you?
Father, we are just humbled today when we think about the fact that you gave all you had in heaven when you gave your Son to die for people like us.
Yeah.
Wow. Lord, we just, in our human terms, can say thank you. Even though that doesn't seem enough, those are the words we have. So, Lord, we say thank you. We say hallelujah.
Yeah. Mm.
We say Hosanna. Mm. Blessed is he who comes in the name
yes.
of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place today. Thank you for what you've allowed us to experience. And now, Lord, as you share with us through the pastor today your words of encouragement and strength, Father, let our hearts be ready to receive.
Yeah. Mm.
And let us not leave the same as we came in.
Amen. Yeah.
Father, this is your time.
Mm.
It's given to you as we exalt your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. It was the week before Easter. And Jesus had just traveled through Jericho and met Zacchaeus, who climbed the tree. He sat with his disciples and explained to them exactly what the coming of the kingdom God meant in what we refer to as the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19. But now, after 33 years of ministry, Jesus was finally taking his final trek to the cross. Just 5 days later, after this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus was destined, folks, from before the foundation and the creation of this universe, to die on a cross for our sin. Palm branches, as you saw this morning, and as you saw in Sunday school as well, and you talked together about them, were always representative of a king. Victory. They always represented peace. The King of Peace, Jesus. And when Jesus came into the Jerusalem for his last time, the Bible says that the folks laid down those palm branches, symbolizing victory and symbolizing the fact of what Hosanna meant as they screamed it, God, save me. The Bible tells us that Jesus was riding on a donkey that had never been ridden before, but this was the final ride he would take on this earth. Jesus was very much human. Like all of us, he did not want to die such a horrible, excruciatingly painful death. And he even asked God why this cup, if you please, could not pass from him. Ladies and gentlemen, not even 10,000 angels of heaven could take him off the cross, because Jesus was destined, called of God, to die for our sin. Can you imagine that? Someone died for you. In your heart and in your mind this morning, I want you to go back with me to the cross. I want you to see, yes, the horrendous suffering and the passion that Jesus Christ went through because of His love for you and me. And then I want you to think what it would be like for you and I today had it not been for the cross. Had Jesus not shed every drop of blood for you, where would you and I be this morning? From Romans chapter 5, the first 12 verses, I believe there are three things and one final thing I want to tell you. And ladies and gentlemen, had it not been for the cross, found in verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 5, you and I, we would be lost. The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Without the cross, you and I could not be justified. We would be totally lost. We would have no way, no guide, and most of all, you and I would have never experienced the grace and the adoption of Jesus Christ. Simply stated, we would live, we would die on this earth. End of story. But Easter tells us that the story didn't end on the cross. It was simply transformed into eternity. I want you to notice something with me about verses 1 and 2 this morning. Paul says to the church at Rome that you and I were justified. That word justified is a term used in the court system both then and now. And to justify means to make one righteous. The word is in its participle form. That means we add ing on it. And folks, when you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, our Lord justifies you by declaring you righteous both then and forever. And the very Greek word used here states the fact that it is justification that will never lose what God has given you. That is your grace, because you are eternally justified. Without the cross, we would not be justified. We would be lost. The word pictures a man on trial before God. Man is seen as having committed the most heinous of crimes. He's rebelled against God. He's broken his relationship with God. And how can man be restored? Within the human courts, if a man is acquitted, he's declared innocent. But that's not true in the divine court. When a man appears before God, he's anything but innocent, ladies and gentlemen. You are utterly guilty and condemned accordingly. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. We deserve death. And unlike the courts of the day, man is guilty in divine court until proven innocent. We've sinned against God, and the only remedy for that sin is the cross of Jesus Christ. It is God's action alone in salvation that saves you. You can't go to church, read your Bible, or be just a good old boy and girl enough to get to heaven. If you've not invited Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, and you haven't intentionally said, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life, you are lost sitting in this worship place this morning and on your way to hell. I'm sorry, folks. That's what the Bible says. And if we're going to preach the Word of God, I'm preaching heaven and hell in this church. I'm not coming in this place and make you feel good, make you think you've just been where you need to be, because the Bible says that Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he's lost. Billy Graham says 85% of the people that are sitting in our pews today are as lost as a goose. If I figure that up right, that means 8 out of 10 of us in here have no clue. I'm not fussing. This is Word of God, folks. We're playing with our eternity, and people are living today like they're going to live forever. Who would have ever thought a man and his son would have gone out for a drive and were dead and wouldn't come home? Who would have thought men would get shot on the streets last night and are not home to their children today? Who would have thought we think we're going to live forever? Without the cross, we are lost. It can't be any plainer. I don't care if you're a young person. I don't care if you're 80, 90 years old. I don't care if you're 110. If you have not intentionally invited Jesus Christ into your life, you are lost. And without the cross, every one of us would be lost. But there's a second thing. There's a second thing. You and I would have what? No hope. We would have no hope. The Bible says, and not only in verses 3 and 4, not only that, but also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And what the Bible is talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is spiritual hope. It's a little word in the Greek we pronounce elpis, E-L-P-I-S. It talks about deep assurance that God is sovereign, that God is completely in control, and our hope as God's child is that we know that be absent from this body means to be present with the Lord, and we're going to spend eternity on this earth. But ultimately, until that point, what happens on this earth, hope tells us God is in control. I like that old spiritual song. He's got the whole world in His hands. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. He does. The hope of the one who believes in Jesus Christ is the assurance, is the confidence to know that no matter what the circumstances, even though it looks all around us that God is nowhere to be found, I can assure you on the authority of the Word of God, God is at work, and His hand has never been off this universe or it ever. That's spiritual hope. And the only way you can get spiritual hope is to know Jesus Christ in your life as your personal Savior. The world defines hope as I hope it will rain, or I hope I will be better tomorrow. It anticipates that something might happen. Spiritual hope, Elpis says, it is a fact. God said it. It doesn't matter whether you or I believe it or not. That settles it. Period. Our Lord has promised us, folks, He's not going to leave us. He's not forsaken. When we are pressed down in those old tribulations, as the book says, and problems are going on, we have the confidence knowing that God is alive and well and working on in our behalf no matter what the circumstances. And without the cross, that kind of hope would be non-existent in this world. Can you imagine living life on this planet without that kind of spiritual hope? Without the cross, we wouldn't have it. Let me tell you about a second century man named Polycarp, who knew that type of confidence and the understanding of hope. Polycarp, we know from history, was the bishop of the church at Smyrna. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. Persecution broke out in Smyrna, and the many Christians were fed to the wild beast in the arena by Nero and Domitian. The godless and bloodthirsty crowd called for the carcass of the leader, Polycarp. They wanted him killed because of what he believed. And so the authorities sent a search party to find him. He had been taken into hiding by some Christians, and the Romans had tortured him and two young believers until they finally discovered where he was. And when the authorities arrived and was announced that there was still time to get Polycarp away, he refused to say by saying, God's will be done. It's okay. Let them come. In one of the most touching instances of Christian grace imaginable, Polycarp literally welcomed his captors to him as though they were his friends. He talked with them. He insisted that they eat a meal together, and he made only one request before being taken away. He asked for 1 hour to pray. And so Polycarp, the Roman soldiers, listened to him as he prayed. and their hearts melted, and they gave him 2 more hours to pray. They had second thoughts, these guards did from Rome, and they were overheard asking each other why they were sent to arrest him. And other authorities also experienced a warmed heart when Polycarp arrived. The proconsul tried to even find a way to release him too. "Curse God and I'll let you die," they told Polycarp. And Polycarp said, "For 86 years I have served the Lord. He's never done me wrong, and I will not blaspheme my king because he saved me." And the proconsul again looked the way out. He says, "Just do this, old man. Swear by the spirit of the emperor. And that's all it'll take, and we'll let you go." Polycarp says, "If you can imagine for a moment that I would do that, then I think you pretend that you don't know who I am. Hear it plainly, my friends. I am a Christian," is what Polycarp told them. So they tried and tried and tried to get him to renounce his faith, and he stood firm. The proconsul threatened him, as they did with others, with death from wild beasts. Polycarp says, "Bring him on. I would change my mind if it meant going from worst to best, but not from changing from right to wrong." And the proconsul says, "We'll burn you alive." And Polycarp says, "You threaten me with fire that burns for an hour, and it's over, but the judgment of the ungodly is forever." And the fire has engulfed Polycarp. Literally, the witnesses noticed his faith and joy, and the Roman guards finished him off with a dagger, and he was buried for the cause of Christ, and history records it on February the 26th, 155 A.D. It was as much a day of victory as it was a day of tragedy. But one thing Polycarp never did, he never renounced his faith without question. Why? Because he had the hope that can only be found in the child of God. Are you willing to go into that kind of flame for Jesus Christ? Knowing that kind of hope, do you know that? Or do you just earthly hope you do? I remember years ago, April 20th, 1999 was the date. A high school freshman, her name was Cassie Bernal, just before she was executed by Dylan Klebo at her school, the question was asked, "Do you believe in God?" She said, "Yes." And she went to her grave. I wonder if we were called upon to answer that question today, folks. In that kind of pressure, with a gun, when we're looking on the other side of the barrel, would we say yes? There's a third thing I want you to see this morning. Without Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and me, we'd be lost forever. We would have no spiritual hope, fact. And the third thing, we'd be eternally separated from God. We would be eternally separated. Verses 5 through 7, "Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now here's the verse I want you to get. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." Folks, we were without strength. We had no hope. We were eternally separated from God without the cross. And the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Everybody may come. But without the cross, there's no invitation. The Bible describes our state. Literally, if there were no cross, the Bible says, "For we were without strength." If you look that up in a Greek lexicon, that's like an English dictionary. You find out that that particular Greek word means weak, worthless, useless, helpless, hopeless, destitute, powerless. I could go on and on about the definition of that word. We were spiritually hopeless and worthless and useless and unable to help ourselves. The Bible says we were ungodly, exactly opposite from God, completely lost, without hope, totally separated. That's how important the cross is for you and me. And yet Jesus willingly got on that unridden donkey for the very first time, and it made his last trek into Jerusalem for one reason, because he loved you. He loved you. And the Bible says in those verses that Christ died for us. In the Greek, we have, just as we have past, present, future, past participle and all that in English, we have the same thing in Greek. But there is a tense in Greek the English cannot translate. It's a tense called aorist. A-O-R-I-S-T. T. And when you put the aorist tense in the indicative mood and you put it together, you have what we call a big word, I don't want to blow you away, called punctiliar action, which means once and for all it took place. That's the word died. Christ died for you. Not over and over and over. Folks, ain't never going to be another Jesus. No other one and only Son of God. It's only Jesus. When He died for you, He died in lock, stock, and barrel one time. And when you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, He came into your life lock, stock, and barrel. He came in as Lord. He came in as Savior. He came in as King. He came in as all. You don't accept Jesus Christ, then 10 years down the road, I'll accept Him as Lord now. No, 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 no. When Jesus came in your life, folks, He took the whole barrel. Everything came in. You just got to realize it and live it. That's our problem. Stats are showing us today by researchers that you can't even tell the difference between a pagan and a Christian in today's society in the 21st century. Our baptisms in the Southern Baptist Convention have so dropped off, we're not just declining, ladies and gentlemen, we're dropping off at a bad angle this way. And our convention is working on it big time like now, like you've never seen before, and you'll be hearing that coming up in the next Southern Baptist Convention about a return to the Southern Baptists as a people of the book like never before and doing the Great Commission. Bless God, it's time. It's time. But I want to tell you a fourth thing, folks. I am so glad this fourth thing is there because it changes the whole history. Had it not been for the cross, we would be lost. We would be without hope. We would be eternally separated. But I want you, if you wrote nothing else down on this message, I want you to write these two words, but God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, they're fixing to be the most incredible two words you've ever heard. If you know Jesus Christ, I hope God gets in our hearts this morning and just stirs us up inside to do something for Him like never before. Because had it not been for the cross, we'd be nowhere. But God demonstrated. Verse 8. His agape, incredible love to us, in that while we were still hopeless, Christ died once and for all for me and for you. I'm telling you, I am so glad. You know, the first three parts of this message can get depressing. But the last part's victory, folks. But God. But God. You and I can never be worthy of what Jesus Christ did for us. There is no way. Salvation is reserved simply for the act of God. But God. And in 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whoa! And then it's available to everyone. Folks, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How in the world do we say thank you to God for coming and shedding His precious blood through His Son Jesus for us? The first thing, folks, is to know without doubt you're saved. I'm not trying to put doubt in you. I want you to examine your life. Have you come to the place that you know for certain that you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, and that if you died today to be absent from this body, would you be present with Jesus? There are many of you in this house who could stand and wave your arm and say, without a doubt. But I pray none of you leave unless you know. This is not anything to play with, folks. We're living in the last days. I'm not a fanatic. I'm not crazy, and I haven't lost my mind. We don't have much time left on this earth. Folks, I'm 58 years old. I know I don't have much time left, whether God takes me through death or whether He takes me through the rapture of the church. In that respect, God is ready, and I believe this world is ripe, and we're seeing that. I preached a series weeks ago about that very thing. I am convinced as I'm sitting here on a time schedule, ladies and gentlemen, and the very next thing on God's table is to come in and taking this church out, His church, and that could happen today. Are you ready? You going to be left behind? The church will be underground then, or what's left of it. Many will be saved during the time of tribulation, but you won't be able to worship in a church like this for your life. You will be underground somewhere. You will be hidden, and you will cry for your life. In the last 3.5 years of that tribulation, you're going to be branded by a cross, and the others are pagan by a 666. And ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to be able to buy anything during those 6 months unless you have that. The Bible is fact. That's what it says. Bless God, if you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, here's what's going to happen to you. The Bible says, we're going to be changed. Doug, we're going to learn how to fly. And in the twinkling of an eye, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be changed. And we're not going to precede those who've already died. We're going to stand in that graveyard or wherever we are and see God recreate those bodies, resurrect those bodies. That's what it says. People say, Randy, how in the world is God going to recreate a cremated body, a blown up body, a body that's deteriorated, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, God created us out of nothing the first time around. Don't you think He can put us back together? God's going to take us out of that grave, those dead in Christ out of that grave, and we're going to see it happen. And then in a split second, you're going to meet the Lord in the air. I wish it happened right now. I'm ready, folks. I'm ready. It's okay. Are you? It wouldn't bother me in the least if Jesus Christ were to come and we'd spend a moment. Because we're going to be together. We know Jesus. What bothers me is that many don't know Jesus, and this world has not yet heard. Without the cross, that's where we'd be. So how do we respond to it? We make sure. The message of Easter is that Jesus died and rose again for you and me. The message He wants us to hear this morning is that Jesus died so I won't have to. Remember that little quote? Jesus died so I won't have to. Jesus died so I will never have to die. I'm so glad He gave His life for me. Had it not been for the cross, we would be lost, without hope, eternally separated. But because of the cross, but God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as best I know in my human way, I have tried to deliver the message that You have given me for this morning. We have preached Jesus died and resurrected. We have preached Your full Word of God, heaven and hell. We have sung, we have shared and talked and prayed and preached Jesus. And Lord, You promise us that Your Word will never, never, never return as nothing. And so, Father, as Moses made an altar for the people, we declare this as our altar. We've prayed before we ever got in this house this morning that You cover this place with the blood of Jesus. Satan is not welcome in here. And Lord, any influence from Satan, I ask You that in the name of Jesus Christ to bind him and the demons of hell out of this house. He's not welcome here. But fill this house, Father, with the power of Your Spirit, so that all of us will know without a doubt that we're saved, that we have invited You into our life. But Father, if there are those under the sound of my voice, either in this sanctuary or who will one day listen to this by way of CD, Lord, convict our hearts this morning. And Lord, I know I'm like every other child of God in this place. I don't live like I should. None of us do. We're human. We're sinful. But Father, I thank You for all those times I absolutely blow it. I run into walls. I make a fool of myself and try to do my schedule and not Your schedule. I try to take my trek instead of the places where You tell me to go. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Set me down. Put me flat on my back. Whatever it takes. But Lord God, bring me to my knees. And I don't think I'm alone in this house. So Lord, this altar is for our knees. We may not be able to kneel physically, but Lord Jesus, our hearts can be on the floor for You. You do what You want to, where we're seated, where we are, anything, Lord Jesus. But today, we just want to praise You, and we want to say, Hosanna, help us, save us, God. Thank You, Father. Thank You for what You're doing in our life. Thank You for the power we experience. But thank You for the response we can give to You this very second. So, Lord, you do your work, and we will praise you without question. Folks, I want you to stand to your feet very quietly and very reverently. This prayer is not over with. We'll remain in this attitude of prayer. You remember I told you a few minutes ago the ground at the cross is level? The rich, the poor, the young, the old, the what, it's for all of us. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Folks, this is the ground at the foot of the cross. And this ground right here is level. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross. So what would you do if you were there and Jesus was coming down the street? Would you shout Hosanna too? Would you be able to walk out of here and saying, bless God, I know Jesus without a doubt? If not, two things. Make sure it's taken care of today. And let's recommit our lives to serving the God of this universe. It's Resurrection Sunday at Olive Springs. Every time we get together, it's Resurrection Sunday. Because it's the first day of the week. There's room at the cross. Doug is going to lead us. The choir is going to lead us. I want you to come. Matthew and I will be down here if you need us. If you need to come and pray. If you need to come and join Olive Springs. Whatever is on your heart right now. Let's make it our time of praise and response to God. Would you do that? Let's sing right now.